I got a fever, and the only prescription is more cowbell.
They have got the man out wide. It's McGilvray for the corner, and McGilvray is in.
Welcome back to Talking with Giants, the Huddersfield Giants fan podcast. It's episode 7 of the 2024 season, and as ever, I'm joined by regulars Jake Rowlands and Nathaniel Wood. How are we, boys?
Great, thank you, Josh.
Tired after the trip to London.
Tired, yeah.
Happy with the points.
Yeah, big weekend. And we've also got first time on the panel, we've got Michael. Nice to meet you, Michael. Do you want to just introduce yourself and tell us a bit about how you started supporting the Giants and stuff like that?
Evening, chaps. Well, I got into watching the Giants via my son when he was at primary school. He's about to turn 21. So we kind of started watching around the 2009 season. So quite a good season to start. We got to a Challenge Cup final and things like that. Giants used to go into his school and would do sort of stuff in the community and play little kids rugby with him, and then he'd get a free ticket and things. So then I would go along. So we got into it that way. And then sort of recently been, both of us are season ticket holders. Just really enjoy it. I'm not, you know, my wife's mum is a big Wigan fan. Ooh, I know. And I remember watching it when I was a kid, when Wigan used to get to Wembley all the time and win everything and all that kind of stuff. And I'm actually from that side of the hills as well. So I'm a bit of an incomer, but I've been in Huddersfield long enough to sort of be a proper Giants fan. So and I just really enjoy it. And Zachary kind of got into all the sort of physio side of it. All he's just going to finish his degree at Sheffield doing physio because of watching the Giants and things like that. He's even done some work placements down there as well. So that's us really.
Nice.
Don't worry about being an incoming, mate. I'm marrying a Leeds fan, so that's how it goes sometimes.
Yeah, that's it. We have to put up with these things in families, don't we?
Yeah.
In terms of players-wise, who's your favourite player been over the years, and who's your favourite player current?
Difficult. There's a few, isn't there, really? I mean, you can't look past Bruffy, really, even though he was a bit of a pain. He was obviously magic at times. And then sort of when we first started watching, there was Fayumu and Falongo and people like that were playing. Luke O'Donnell was class for the time that he was ever on the field.
I agree with that.
And then sort of currently, Yates is good, isn't he? Sam Halsall, I think, is great. Tui. I haven't got any real favourites, but, you know, as long as they all go out and try hard, I'm happy, really.
Yeah, it'd been hard to pick one last year, wasn't it? There's a few this year.
Yeah.
See why you talk to him, Jake, if you like Sam also. Not that no one else does, obviously.
Hey, Watto, we're making him out to be next Matt Percival in his presser after the game on Sunday. So.
Very interesting. Did you watch the game on Sunday, Michael?
I got sort of one eye on it because we were at my mum. We went over to my mum's and Zachary got it on his iPad and had that on. So I did get to see them not start very well and then kind of clean things up a bit and get the result in the end.
Yeah. So based on what you saw, you think it was just sort of fine or just all right?
I think London are getting better. I think, you know, loads of people will slag us off for not putting millions of points on them. And, you know, some of the old stick in the muds will be going, we should have put 50 on them and all that kind of stuff. And it just, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, doesn't it? I mean, I think they overplayed some stuff in the first half, kind of what I saw. I'll just have a look because I've got some notes. They tried too hard. They need a steadying hand sometimes. I think in a few games where we've kind of been slated, we definitely will win. They kind of seem to lose their heads a little bit sometimes and like try and throw the miracle offload and stuff, whereas they should just take the tackle and then play on from there and probably score.
Yeah, there was a bit of forcing the pass quite a bit. Nat, you were there. First of all, yeah, what was the experience like going down there, new stadium?
Brilliant. Stadium's, it's only about 9,000, but really, really nice stadium. If I could have picked it up and brought it back to Huddersfield and the coachman and dumped it somewhere around here for us, then I would have done, because it's perfect for us. Nice little setup as well, fair play to London, everything were nice and easy, you know, around the ground and getting in. Everyone very welcome, the pubs around the ground as well, so they've got a nice little setup there and hopefully they can stick at it and find that as their home base, even though I'm not sure they'll be allowed to due to the attendance rules that are apparently coming in with IMG, so... But then again, they won't be in Super League, so I'm not sure how much that will affect them. But yeah, for this year, anyone who's not a Giants fan who has got to go watch their club, yeah, I recommend going down and seeing it, because it's a good little set they've got down there.
Yeah, it does look, it's a good place for them to play. I used to do a bit of work for London like 7-8 years ago when they were at Trail Finders, and obviously that wasn't ideal with the facilities. So yeah, where they are now is like, it's perfect. It's just, as you say, there's quite a few questions over the club going forward, but hopefully they get it sorted. Jake, assessment of the game?
Yeah, I thought we were, I mean, don't get me wrong, I said on podcast last week, score above 30, concede less than 10. Conceded less than 10, we were there or thereabouts with 30 points, weren't we? 26, were it, or 24? Missed a few kicks, so probably you are probably there or thereabouts. I don't think you can expect to be hammering teams when you're Giants, as we've said before. You know, if it's one of them, and it's still a Super League club, the finding pace of London, like Michael said, they are improving. They have got a few good players as well. Like Ollie Leyland looks like he could be a Super League player for years to come if he stays at London. There's a few others as well. So yeah, I mean, like everyone said, probably overdid it in first half. I do think we were quite fortunate, if you want to say lucky, with the baby try, where it, you know, London should be grounding that, or they should be putting it out or getting it and returning ball. Potentially you could argue that a swift try were forward. Second half, different game altogether. Obviously I agree with Watson, we came out, we were defending well, we were completing well. We were just too much for London then. Obviously, we kept him to the nil second half. In terms of performers, I think like we said before we went on air, Tui were probably the worst player and the best player on pitch. When he did great stuff, it came off. And then when he did bad stuff, it looked really bad. Apart from that, I think everyone else had a steady game. Once said there were many standouts, once said there were many poor performers, really. So, yeah, on to next week where... As long as we get a win, that's all that matters, leading into that Catalan Cup game, which we're going to have to throw a kitchen sink at them. And we're going to have to perform a lot better than we have done against London to get through that.
Nat, you said, I think after the game you weren't too pleased with the performance, but win's a win, you said. Looking back, do you think, what's your assessment looking back on the performance?
I'm still disappointed that I expected better. Did I expect us to put 40, 50 points on them? Yeah, I did. Did we? No. Am I bothered that we didn't? No. Because, like I said, win's a win. I'm not really fussed. I'm not one of these that gets upset if we could win 42-40 every week and I wouldn't be worried about his defence, because we're winning games, and that's, to me, that's all that matters in sport, is winning. We weren't great. I thought his attitude were probably wrong from minute one. It looked like the old Giants, where we come out and just expected to roll London, and we got a bit of a shock when they went 6-0 up. But as Jake and Walter said in the second half, I thought his attitude was spot on. Went back to basics where we kicked deep and made them come out of yardage, and that's where they really struggled then in the second half. We had a bit of disruption which obviously won't help, you know, with the fencing situation. And as you said, Matt English being out injured and Jake Connor not travelling due to his tight hamstring and stuff like that. So we're only travelling 19 players instead of 21. You know, if these lads were meant to play and they pulled out later on, then it's a bit of disruption in the 17. So Tom Deakin got his debut. Thought it was very solid and very good. Went well. I'd be giving him another go this week. So overall, behind the skin out of the way, win's a win. We'll have to play better this week to beat Hull. You know, Hull showed something in their second half against Hull Care on Good Friday. So if they go into that second half, we'll have to be better this week. But I'm 1,000% sure we will be better. I just think we went there, did the job, got the job done, came out 2 points. See you later, back up north, and look forward to this week.
Just out of interest, did you feel Nakama should have got a yellow for that tackle?
I don't know.
To me, on telly, it looked like he tackled him well before the ball and done it on purpose. So
the penalty try?
Yeah.
I've not seen it at the opposite end of the ground, so yeah. I couldn't really see what happened. And I've not seen a highlight of it since. But people, in them games, I said at the time at the ground that I'm happy they gave the penalty try because I've still backed Huddersfield to come from 6-0 down in London to beat London. If that were like a St. Helens or Wigan were playing, I think I'd have rather a man in the bin and back us with 12 men rather than coming from 6-0 down, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
We'd be in London, I were happy that we'll take the 6 points and we'll back ourselves to come back.
I'm not sure what the rule is. Can you give both? Can you give a penalty try and a yellow card?
No. If you give the try, then you can't sin bin him. If you sin bin him, you can't give the try.
Right.
It's one or the other.
That explains it then, because they did take him out without the ball. In fact, the try they scored, I've seen a few teams try that kick down our right edge.
I've said it before, and it's definitely something that teams are latching onto, and I think Watto and the coach staff needs to be a bit better at catching onto that. And if we defend one way, then maybe someone needs to keep an eye on the back. I don't know.
People used to blame that on Jerry, and Jerry used to get caught out with it a hell of a lot. But it seems to be happening even when Jerry's gone. So I don't know what the issue is there. But even with wingers that are far quicker than Jerry and centres, it still seems to be happening a lot. So yeah, I'm not sure what the issue is there. Whether it's just concentration or what, I'm not sure. But certainly seem to struggle turning around and chasing back after the ball.
We had Eason Masters starting at fullback for the first time and Deakin at 9 starting for the first time. So there were changes to the spine. Michael, how do you think those two went on in those positions?
From what I saw, they were all right. I mean, I kind of going back a week previous to that when Tui and Clune were in the halves and things like that, I think that's the better way forward. I know I've kind of listened to the podcast before and sort of people really rate Ollie Russell, and I love him to death, and he has the heart of a lion, but he does get bullied a lot, I feel. And so, and he doesn't bring anything where Tui and stuff can do little kicks through and stuff. I know sometimes he makes an absolute hash of everything and it does look awful, but sometimes I'd rather they kind of threw the hat in the ring and tried different stuff, because just watching us go up the middle or getting to within 5 metres of their line and then not having anybody who can kick it through or do a grubber or anything like that just sends me up the wall. It's like so I think from what I saw of the game on Sunday, it kind of seemed to work all right. And Eason Masters is having a wicked season this season. It's like somebody mentioned, I think, on the podcast that his contract's up this season, so it's like, I wonder. But hopefully, hopefully it's just because he's more settled and there may be some stuff have been going on prior and he's just feeling a bit more at home.
Yeah, you certainly like to think that way, but it seems to happen with too many of them for me. And it's more than a coincidence, I think, at times. But if he stays, then all the better. But he'll have to have eyes on his performances next year if he signs a new deal, compare it to this.
Yeah, they need to put some sort of clause in his contract that, you know, you've got to play like you did this last season. Because, I mean, it's massively unprofessional that, though, isn't it? If they do, just sit back a bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard with overseas players because, like, Lutelli, for example, we brought him in. We played Jake Wardle out of position to suit Lutelli. Lutelli weren't exactly great first year. He's then been stuck in his position that he wanted at left centre, been phenomenal second year. We still haven't won out, but Lutelli's had a hell of a season. but then he's buggered off for more money, or he goes back home to Australia. It's like you've got to weigh it up sometimes, and
yeah,
you're always gonna have wins and losses from it in terms of players coming in and out. But for me, when you're signing overseas players on 2-year deals, you're getting one good year out of them, and then they move on or whatever.
I'm gonna be his defender here. I think he was lacking confidence last season, and I think Watson sticking with him and saying, you know, he believes in him, I think maybe that could be why as well. I mean, I'm sure it's on his mind.
But I also think if he hadn't performed this year, that could have been his career over in terms of top flight rugby.
Yeah, probably, yeah. It's a factor. There's probably numerous factors, but as long as he plays well, who cares?
Yeah.
Jake, what did you think of Tom Deacon?
At start, I wasn't sure. About 20 minutes had passed, and I thought he looked a bit out of place at times. But then as the game went on, I thought he did really well. Defensively, he's really good. Obviously, he's not played in first team yet, so getting up to speed of a Super League game will have had some impact on him. But I think the more he plays, the better he'll do. But he didn't look particularly quick to me. So if you can bring him through as a decent nine, and then you can get somebody else, you know, who can play alongside him to spell with him that's quicker, that can speed it up a little bit, I think we'll be all right. But in terms of long-term planning, I think he'll end up being a really strong nine for us in years to come. Certainly for a first game for a young nine, because you've got to remember, people think when we sign Australians that they're going to be superstars as soon as they come over. He's only, what is he, 20? 20-year-old. So it's like somebody coming through our academy. I mean, not many come into the first team and play at 20-year-old, do they? So it's only like Fenton Rogers getting his first game or someone like that, isn't it? In reality, it's
Well, Watson said he's a project over not just this season, but the, you know, two or three seasons. So good for him to get his first.
There's a few in there that are kind of young and that kind of project kind of thing. I mean, I saw some of the stuff where Tom's family were there and it was his first grade game, wasn't it? So
we
can't expect too much of him, but you know, I mean, another one is Connor Carr. My son was at school with Connor, so I've known Connor for donkey's years, and he's a good local lad, but he's only 20 as well. So it's like all these kids are coming in, and they're the future of the club, aren't they, really?
Yeah, just on Connor, he played a full game for Bradford the other day, and Bradford beat, was it Halifax, I think? So apparently, from what I read online, he did quite well at returning ball and stuff, so... Hopefully he gets his debut this year, actually, Connor. I'd like to see, you know, an out and out winger get a chance rather than playing people like Jake Bibby out of position on wing when he's clearly a centre now. You know, just rather as go down that route than move players out of position. And if you've got players training in one position, bring them players in rather than, you know, moving two or three about.
Yeah, it might be a good thing as well, sort of going forward for the club, because Connor's Huddersfield born and bred. It's like you've got it. That's how you maybe get more locals coming down to watch as well and things like that.
Yeah, all positive that. Nat, have you got any stats for us?
Yes. First one just proves about the attitude, not the attitude as such, but the fact that what Watson said about overplayed for 80 minutes, we completed at 64%. You're not winning many Super League games when you complete at that percentage, so... I think that's where Watson will come from about the overplaying, obviously, trying fancy flicks and stuff, which we don't normally do. That's not, I know Jake doesn't like the word, but that's not his process. So he won't be happy with that. Yes, we've got a few here. The meters that we made, 1,644. London made 1,138. So I think it shows that we found coming out of yardage a lot easier than they did. London made 385 tackles, we made 298, so it's just 100 difference. It proved that they did a lot more defending. With all them stats, you probably think we had a bit more possession than them, but we actually had 55% possession. So it's not that we had 65-70% possession. We were miles clear most of the stats, to be fair. Ballroom meters, we had 2,226 to their 1,638. We had an extra 280 post-contact metres from them. The one thing I did find staggering was run some dummy half. They had one, we had 11. So I think that shows how well we defended and how we were to control the ruck very well for their nine, not to be able to get out and get away. So I thought that's quite staggering improvement. We only conceded 6 points as well, so it shows that defensively we were probably on it from minute one. It was just the attack where we're trying to overplay, and it's probably the game to try it if you are going to try it. Play the ball in oxygen 20 metres. They only had 15. We had 43. So I think, again, it shows us dominance in the game, to be honest, of how well we actually did play. And errors-wise, we made 12. They made 9. And missed tackles, they missed 47. We missed 24. So defensively, it wasn't too... Again, like I say, it wasn't too bad. We did well there. Metres regarding individual players. Issa Mars has made 175. Swift made 163. Yates are doing what he does best at 133. Ollie Wilson at 131. And Kevin Nagama at 123. We're our top five. We also had another four in the 100 marks with Sam Alsall, Seb Ikahifo, Tui Lolahe and Jake Bibby all making 100 metres each. So it's good to see we had 8 players out of 17 over half the squad made 100 metres. Yeah. Tackle bus-wise, Mars has made 7, including 2 made 5. So I think a spine, with Michael Curran on a spine, it, you know, stats-wise, the tackle bus and stuff, they went well. They were getting through the line, which is good to see. I thought Issa looked very dangerous when he ran the ball from full-back. So, defensive-wise, Yates topped it with 37, missing 0. Good to see him back in the starting lineup and as captain leading from the front. For me, he's our best player. He's so good when he does that. And he can play massive minutes at prop. It's such a massive help for us. Deakin made 35 and he only missed 2. So, like I said, let's remember, he's not played for Sydney Roosters first grade before us. So it's his first grade debut at top level. So to make 35 tackles and only miss 2, I think it's a decent effort from him. And he deserves a bit of a pat on the back and a round of applause. Harvey Levett made 31, missing none. I thought he went well defensively. Jack Murchie made 30, missed none. So his edge forwards as well. And Ollie Wilson made 24, which did miss 4 tackles. But for me, Ollie Wilson was my man of the match, I thought. He laid the platform from the first shot in defence. He's just getting better and better. He's definitely one that I know he's not out of contract this year, but I'm looking to keep as soon as possible. So I would imagine all the top Super League teams will be sniffing around him as soon as he's out of contract, yeah, the way he's developing.
One player I would mention, Adam Swift. I knew he was good, but I didn't realise what he brings to the team. I think he's one of the best signings we've had in a long time.
Yeah,
he's been brilliant.
Yeah, you just had to look at how he...
One-on-one tackle. Never.
No, he's I noticed him more so last year when we played Hull at Hull, and he tore us apart. If you were there, Nat, if you remember, every time he got ball, we struggled to tackle him, and I used to think he's not the biggest bloke in the world. He's quite muscular, but he's fairly small. Like, how is he busting so many tackles? But then he's come here and he's just doing the same thing. But
he's in the top 5 in meter making every single week, and I know. Yeah, he should be. He's returning the ball, but Jake Connor returns the ball every fullback, and he's never really in the top 5. No, we have someone in Sam Alsall. He made over 100, but he's not in the top 5, and he returns the ball just as many times as Swifty does.
Yeah, and everything he does, he just does it well, doesn't he? Like,
defensively as well. I never knew how good he was defensively.
He just seems to have got so much stronger as he's got into his later 20s and early 30s compared to what he was like in his earlier 20s. He just seems so much more physical now. It happens with players is that, like Ben Westwood, that happened. He was quite slim, wasn't he, in his earlier 20s, and then he sort of filled out. Chris Hill's probably another one. He filled out loads towards his late 20s, and some players just do that and just take longer to develop naturally physically, don't they? And it just seems to be, I mean, if you've seen his pictures after game when they're all in changing rooms, when camera's going between him and Tui, and you're like, you see Swift, and he's absolutely shredded with an 8-pack, and then it's 2-way. It looks like he hasn't been in gym for about 6 months. It's quite funny.
He's better than he was, though, isn't he, 2-way?
Better than he was, but he's still, when definitely, you see his physique after a game, he's just not got one of them, like, if you remember a boxer called Tony Bellew, well, he were like that. You'd see his physique, and you're thinking, do you even train twice a day? Because he don't look like he does. I think 2-way's just got one of them physiques. No matter how much you train, you just won't look fit.
That's just how he looks, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, who was I watching in the Catalan game? The lad who went to Catalans from Hull KR, Jordan Abdul. These guys, they run around the field for 80 minutes and everything. They'd run us all off the park, and yet he's carrying some timber.
Yeah.
I don't know, you haven't seen an old Giants player called Jamie Ellis. I saw some of his highlights from a try scored for all the game. Good God, it looked like he'd eaten 5 full pigs in line 2-1.
I remember Jamie Ellis. Yeah.
Well, I liked him. I thought he was all right.
Yeah, he had his moments, didn't he? Definitely.
Yeah. Any other, before we move on from London game, anything anyone wants to add?
Not from London game, no.
Just keep, please keep Tom Deacon in the side.
Well, yeah. If you listen to Watson's post-match presser, I got the feeling that it probably wouldn't be.
So do I. This is why we're here. If Ian Watson decides to listen to a Giants fan podcast,
I got the feeling he won't be in next week and the week after, but he'll be in at some point when somebody gets an injury.
Yeah, I'm going to have to book the trend. I'd rather get Milner back in. And I thought a bit with Ash on the pitch as well. But I'm not saying he had a bad game. It's steady, but I feel more safe with Milner and Golding, personally.
I like Ash Golding, but...
I would have said the effort week after for away trip to Catalan, but I think for next week when we're playing Hull, we've got a ton of injuries ourselves, including the main nine out. I think I'd stick with give Deakin another go, personally. But I'd give Ash a rest next week and put Ash back in for Catalan game, but we'll get on to that in a bit.
I also want to mention about their nine position.
Yeah, well, before we move on, we'll move on from London. The Academy had a good win at Wakefield. I'm trying to find it online, but it's hard to find.
You can't get much about it, and neither club really tweeted much about it, who'd scored the tries or anything, so it's really hard to get information on it unless you've been. But apparently, from what I heard from somebody that were there, it was quite a good game. Wakefield Academy are pretty decent this year as well. They've got Kobe McGilvery on wing. Jerry's nephew, is he? Or something
his
like that?
Kobe's dad, I think, is Jerry's uncle.
So they're related somehow anyway. But yeah, Freddie McGill is a big Giants fan as well, goes to most games, as does Kobe, goes to most Giants games as well. I think he got over for a try. He got Will Brough playing at half as well, Danny Brough's son. And apparently a few other decent players for Wakey, but Giants managed to get over the line, I think. Can't tell you who scored the tries, but 21-16 win, I think. So 2 out of 2 for them. Can't complain.
Yep, looking good. Good start for them. Okay, moving on. Look ahead to this weekend now. We go to Hull FC on Saturday, isn't it? Saturday, 3 o'clock?
Yep.
Yep, just checking that.
It is, yeah. It better be. That's when I'm going anyway, so...
Okay, well, we'll start with you then, Nat. What are you expecting from that game?
Same as a cup game. Well, not as easy. I think they'll give it a bit more after their second half against OKR. But I still think if we go with if Connor's back and, like I said, Milner's back and that, if we just go and do a professional job, then I still think we should have enough on paper and enough to win the game. I'll be disappointed if we can't beat a team like Hull FC, the way they're playing in a minute, but as we mentioned again, ahead of the cup game, you know, they lost 7 in a row last year and we went there and lost. So I know if anyone's capable of doing it, it's going to be us, but hopefully that's out of the idea. I just think we're a better team on paper, to be honest. I think they'll be better this week.
They've got a ton of injuries as well, haven't they? If you look at their injury list that came out today, it's frightening how many players.
But this is where I go with, I know Danny Outland's out injured, but they've been playing the New Zealand international hooker at 7 and he's going to go back to 9 and he's a 10 times better 9 than he's a 7. They're just going to free up their young lad who's Jack Charles to come in at 7, who's been doing a very good job. So I think now that should be more dangerous with that spine like that. Tetsoy playing, he hasn't done much at OFC, but again, he's been 6-round fullback. He's a fullback. So if they've got Tetsoy in that position at fullback, the young lad will have spark. New Brown will play at 9, where he's, for me, he's better at 9, then I think that will, their spine will just set them up. But again, I think some of their forwards are so, they might not be this week, but going off what I've watched the last 2-3 weeks, some of their forwards are so lazy. It's untrue. And that's where I reckon with Yatesy and Ollie Wilson and, you know, Ash off the bench and Seb's done well this year, that we should be able to roam downfield. It'll just depend if Clooney and Tui and Jake can get us over the line, which I'll back them to do. So hopefully just another routine win. Like I say, it doesn't have to be by many. Let's just win, get out of there and concentrate on the cup and cattle on the week after.
Michael, do you agree with that? I think it's just like another game that's just we've just got to win.
Pretty much, yeah. It's one of them where you'd like us to score many, many points, but I don't care if we win by one. It's like it's a massive, to me, it's just one of them where you just have a funny feeling and you think, oh no, this could be another banana skin. And like Watto said, they lost 7 on the bounce last season. We went and we lost there. So yeah, it's got to be workmanlike, I think, getting, follow the process, but then come up with something at their end. Because I think, like Nat just said, we'll hopefully be able to roll them down the field, but then it's having the ideas at their end, which is what I think we lack sometimes when certain players are playing. There's just nothing there at the end. They don't come up with anything. So
I think that's where, just going back to the London game, you talk about we lack of ideas. I think that's what happened. We know Jake Conrad, he sounded well at fullback, but he's a runner, not a passer. And I think you actually know London on Sunday proved how good Jake Conrad is and how much we actually miss him if he's not part of our starting 13.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that as well. Yeah.
I think Conrad's great. He's and he's got a right boot on him as well. He can properly kick it. It's like I think he's gonna, if he has the right two halves in front of him, then that's when he can play really well. And then we might get some kick throughs and stuff like that going, which hopefully is what we'll get.
Jake, I remember last season, I stood with you at Hull away and didn't go well, did it? And I think that was the day when I thought,
poor you, Josh.
Maybe we're not as good as you. Yeah, he was fuming. That was the day I thought, maybe we're not as good as we thought we were. Is there any danger of that happening again, do you think?
I don't think we'll lose this time. I don't think we can. I don't think we can afford to. I can see us winning. We ain't going to hammer all the way. It's not that sort of place we've ever gone and hammered all. It's a really tough place to go. They always seem to raise the game when they play us, especially at home.
We hammered them last year.
At Hull?
Second
away game.
Time.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, but it's still. Yeah, forgot about that one. It's still a tough place to go though. And judging, I think this will be Tony Smith's last hurrah. I think if they get hammered at home to us this week, I think he goes. Especially
the week off.
Yeah, I think they will. I think they'll go. Yeah, I think they'll get rid of him, and then obviously they've got a couple of weeks then to get somebody in or somebody to take over to work with squad before the next game. So I do think they'll come out swinging. I think he'll have fired young lads up. And I did see enough from him in that second half to show a bit of grit and determination. So I think we have to get on front foot, score a few points early doors, and then I think that'll settle us down. But I think if we do what we did against London, where we start sloppy, they score or they get one or two scores in front, it'll just keep them going. I think they'll get that, you know, fighting spirit, and crowd will be on up on the feet and sort of getting behind him, and I think that'll spur him on a bit. But I think we'll go on to win game, and I think it'll be second half similar to London game where we managed to just kill it off and go on to that Catalan game, which is the more important one for now.
Yeah,
I think it's one of them games where we need to score first.
Potentially.
If we score first, or say we go 10-12-0, the crowd drops, which will affect onto the players. Where if they go 12 up against us, all of a sudden their crowd's up, and that spurs them on.
Probably.
I think it'd make it a lot easier if we did that. Yeah. But I still think we could come from behind.
Yeah. I know we come from behind against London, but it's very rare we do go behind and come from behind. It usually sets up the game for Giants. Like, look at OKR game. As soon as we went behind, you knew what were coming. You knew what we're going to dish up. It was the same, and it's usually what happens. London are different because in theory they are a championship side with odd super league player throughout. You should be able to come from behind against London and beat them. Hull are a little bit different because although they've got loads of young lads playing, they have got super league players, they have got NRL players in there. I'm not saying some of them have been any good because that Ockenburg has been absolutely diabolical for me, but you know, the crowd, they still get massive crowds. You know, when you get that many people cheering you on that can lift the atmosphere, it makes a difference.
I always fear if we go two down. One is never too much, but if we go two scores down, it's like, oh, here we go. Hull are A-grade, aren't they? So they must have lots of fans because they're not doing much on the field and all that kind of stuff.
Well,
so.
They're still best supported club in Super League, really, yeah. In terms of season ticket sales, yeah.
That's the thing. No matter how bad sort of like Hull or Cass are playing, whenever you go away there, I've just seen it too many times where I've got beat, so... I never feel comfortable playing.
Look,
like,
I mean, you got to applaud the fan base. I mean, I was shocked how many actually came to that cup game to see how bad they've been doing, and how many fans were still left in the stadium at the end of that cup game. Will be far more than we'd ever take to Hull FC if we were winning every week, to be fair. So, yeah, you know, it's 11, isn't
it? It's kind of in their blood, isn't it? There's certain places where they are rugby towns, aren't they, and things. And I think we fight a lot against the football here, sadly, for whatever reason. They'll go and watch a losing football team as opposed to come and watch us.
I don't think many are going to watch them recently, to be fair. I don't know. Crowds, I will, so.
We'll move on from that. Because
controversy.
Jake, any changes to the lineup that you'd like to see?
If Connor's fit, get him back in. If not, don't risk him because we need him for that Catalan game week after. That's more important. I think we can get by next week without Jake Connor.
He'd love to play there, though, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he would, yeah, of course he would, where all things are going at the moment. So, yeah, but only if he's right. Same with some others. Matty English potentially back in. But I think you keep playing Harry Rushton for me, because I think he was better than week before on Sunday. I think he's just going to get better and better now. So keep him in. So, to be honest with you, I won't make too many changes. If Connor comes back in, obviously Bibby drops out. Milner comes in for Deakin, and I think that's about it, to be fair, this week. Livette's done no wrong since he's come in, been steady away. Not sure when Hewitt's due back, but based on Livette's two performances and Hewitt's the one before he got injured, I'd say Livette keeps his spot for now, to be fair. I'm not the biggest Harvey Livette fan, so it's a compliment coming from me.
Matt, any changes?
Connor in for Bibby, move Easton back to centre. I don't know what you do with Golden and Milner, but I'd leave Deakin in, but I don't think he will. If Milner's back, I think Milner's starting nine and Deakin will miss out. If Hewitt's back, then he comes in for Lovett. I agree, keep Rushton in, keep Sebin. I don't think Chile's back, so obviously Matt English, if he's back, he'd probably play. Who misses out? Who needs a rest? Take a pick, water. You know. You probably wouldn't play him because I don't think Rushton, Greenwood, Seb, Wilson, Yates, Leroy, Duck, anyone deserve to drop. So
no, and they're all going to want to perform this week to have the place in Cup side week after. And it's that's where Watson's going to have a few issues this week, I think, because if somebody's not quite 100%, does he give them week off for next week? Because, like I said, that week, that game the week after is a massive one, isn't it, for us in terms of a season. So
yeah, it's harsh on, you know, Matt has played well. He's had a slight knock, so not played at London. And now we're saying, well, don't bring him back into the team. That's nothing a knock on Matty. I think it's just unlucky. You know, you two know what I'm like. You don't change a winning team.
I think the issue with Matty is he does get too many knocks and stuff now. It seems to do, and he can never find any consistency with inside. You need players that are going to be playing inside, getting consistency, getting used to systems. Although he knows systems, has been here a long time, but getting used to playing every week, and, you know, and then rather than being in 1 week or 2 weeks and out for three, it's like, I think that's something going to fill cut with Matt English, because he just doesn't seem to ever get any consistency over the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, so Connor and Milner in, Deakin and Bibby out, Hewitt, Filivet if Hewitt's back fit. If not, leave it same, crack on, get 2 points and get ourselves back to Huddersfield.
Michael, depending on injuries, whether we don't know who's going to be available or whatever, would you play the 17 that you're intending to play in Catalan? Would you play them that 17 this week?
I don't know Hull enough, and if they've got any sort of loose cannons, as in that could injure somebody, then I'd maybe have a bit of a look. But I'd try and get the team that you want in Catalan together. I've got to agree with the other guys. It's like, we need to win at Hull, definitely. And if we think that Deakin's not quite up at speed, then yeah, get Milner back in, even though he sends me to sleep. But if he gets the job done, that's what you need. And And like you said about Matty English, it is tough, but it's sort of professional sport, isn't it? If you're getting knocks and you're not getting the consistency and somebody else gets in and holds on to the jersey, then that's kind of it. You've got to show up in training and make sure that the coach sort of sees you and puts you back in. So I'd try and get some consistency going in. Because he said, didn't he, before the London game, he was just going to try and keep consistency as much as possible, and he only sort of changed stuff because of injuries or illness and that. So
exactly, I think where we're quite fortunate in and not always agrees with size at squad is that players that are coming in are still Super League players. Other than Deakin, that you can't could argue said yeah, he's been at an NRL club but only in feeder team. But apart from Deakin, you know, everyone that's coming to do a job for somebody else is already an established Super League player. But Jake Bibby coming for Masters, you know, you've got your Rushtons, you've got your Englishers, you've got your Greenwoods come back in. It's not like we've had to dig deep to academy yet, is it? Where all FC have got players out and they're having to go 3, 4, 5, 6 players into academy. So we still should have enough, no matter who players in that team, to beat all FC next on Saturday.
They should, and because they've been in Super League, they should know that if that's their chance, they need to grab on it. And there's a big cup game coming up, and it's like, right, I've got to really pull my socks up and perform here and try and keep my place. So I've got to hope.
Yeah.
Well, before we finish, we'll just finish off with our predictions. I'll go first this time just to mix it up. I'll say Giants. I think it'd be similar to last Sunday, so I'll say another 26-6. Nat, on to you.
Well, I've got a very good friend who supports Hull FC, and Danny, and if you listen to him, then we'll win 50-0, 54-0, because he's not very confident. However, we've just been talking tonight, actually, that we've got 10-12 start with the bookies, and I think this week will be a lot closer than that, than the cup game, and I agree with what the bookies have got it down as. I'll go 22-10 to the Giants.
Greg?
I'll go 32-14 Giants.
Michael?
Well, I've written down 28-12 just as you were asking the question, so we're all fairly similar, aren't we, there?
Yeah.
Well, and that means we lose.
Don't tempt fate.
Let's hope not.
Yeah. Yeah. Before we go, Josh, I'll give a shout out to some of the lads on loan as well, because we had three boys on loan at Dewsbury at weekend. Jack Billington, who got over for a brace, 2 tries on his second game, I think, for Dewsbury. Played some decent minutes. Jack Bibby, apparently from reading Dewsbury fans' thing, he had a cracking game, starting game for Dewsbury, and Kieran Rush, although got sin-binned, apparently.
You should get his sin-binned for fighting.
Looked very good as well, so... Yeah, certainly keep an eye on Dewsbury, because it sounds like we'll have quite a few players playing there over the next few weeks.
It's good to see him doing well. Anything else before we go?
I'd just like to say thanks for bringing me on. I've enjoyed it. It's been good.
Oh, thank you for coming on. Glad we sorted out the technical issues at the start.
Yeah, I'm a bit computer phobic, but we got there in the end, didn't we?
You trusted the process and it came through in the end.
I did, yes.
All right, well... Yeah, that's it for this week. Well, I'm sure we'll be back next week, hopefully reflecting on another win, fingers crossed. Everyone going across to Hull, hope you have a good day and bring back the 2 points. Get involved on we're going to post this on Facebook and Twitter. Get involved, comment on if you think we're talking crap or whatever. All opinions are welcome. It's good for debate. We're all Giants fans. We all want the same thing at the end of the day. But yeah, thanks for listening, and we will speak to you next time.